Pod Culture, episode 436, TARDIS Interruptus, volume 42.
This episode of Pod Culture, TARDIS Interruptus, is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 100,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture.
Hi, everybody. This is John Barrowman, and you're listening to Pod Culture, and don't miss it, or I'm going to get you.
Hey guys, this is Brad. I got a little bit of a treat for you here on this special feed-only episode of Pod Culture TARDIS Interruptus. You were so kind to deal with our Rewind episode last week while we were at Fandom Fest 2014 that we got a little treat from Fandom Fest 2013. Yes, we're going to hop into the TARDIS, go back all the way to last year, and what we have is hilarious. It is audio from John Barrowman's panel at Fandom Fest 2013. Since this is a recording of a panel at a convention, the audio's not quite ideal, but we figured you would want to hear the hilarity that is John Barrowman anyway. So, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Apologies for all of the changes. I know it's not my fault. I just want to tell you that because they flipped everything around because they screwed up on all of the photo ops. So, and also I know Colin Baker's panel was changed, and if you can spread the word, it was not his fault because they're saying it was. So for you guys, know that it was not us. It was the people who organized it. They screwed up. Everything was shoved back. And I know what's happened is some of you have come to my table because your photo ops have been moved, and some of you are under 18 and need to be home before dark. I kid you not. You must ask for your money back. Okay? You must ask for your money back. Don't just let them keep your money. If you need to be home by a certain time, that's your parents' responsibility. If you're underage, ask for your money back. Okay? Their fault. Into questions, and I apologize first right away if there's anybody under 18 and I say anything that's offensive, get over it. I'm sorry, I tried my best. It's always an interesting car ride home with parents when they have kids in the car. I go, Mommy, Daddy, what did he do when he said about this? Notice I believe myself. Just you wait. Questions from the, I go right to questions. Is that all right?
Yes.
Because this is your moment. This is the day. Congratulations on your wedding.
Times, and I was wondering if you would mind telling the story about tying the underpants to the fence story. So
I'm going to embarrass the hell out of myself again. Yes, I was Scott and I were traveling in the south, and we were I think it was somewhere in Mississippi, and you know there's a lot of I think it was Mississippi, but there's levees and things like that throughout Mississippi and in Louisiana and all that kind of stuff. Woo! Where the levee is?
Yeah.
It's what we call here a dike, but that's something very different. They've all had fingers in them, but you know, it's all different. Woo! Woo! Well, been. All righty. Scott and I were traveling, and I had the night before eaten some, paraphrasing here, eaten some really, really bad food, okay? And I woke up with a very, extremely upset stomach. So we're driving in the middle of nowhere, and we're driving along, and I'm like, Scott, I gotta go to the bathroom. Right now. He's like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? I said, we're in the middle of nowhere! There's not even a Stuckey's! Stuckey's don't exist anymore! I know, but I have to, myself, really find some place. He's driving, I'm like, no, find the place! No! Oh my God! So I had to lift myself off of the leather seats.
Oh no!
Really, I had no control. I crapped myself in the car. Driving like this, I'm like, Scott, just find some place. I got a suitcase in the back, I gotta change my pants. So we drive down by this levee dike, and we drive down and we stop the car, and I get out of the car and I'm literally walking like this. Oh my God, oh my, like it's gonna matter because I've already shit myself. So I unbutton my pants, I take my pants off. I'm like, what am I going to do? What if people drive up? Oh, my God. I couldn't believe my luck. Couldn't believe it. Finally worked my pants off, worked my way off my underwear. I hold them there for a second, clean myself up, put the new underwear on, get my other jeans on. I'm not going to chuck my jeans out, so I put them in the back in a plastic bag. Oh, my God. And I'm like, this is Brian Scott. He's like, what? Look, there's a sign here. I'm just going to hang it up. It says no dumping. So my question is, what is it like having an action figure? And second of all, do you go home and play with yourself all the time? I love the fact that I'm an action figure. I love the fact that I'm an action hero. I have every single one of the dolls that have ever been made of me. I have all the Doctor Who action figures. I have a room at my house in Wales that is literally filled to the brim with collectibles and stuff that I have. I've got the original Jack Harkness squareness gun, the prop that was made for me. Plus, I have the one that was made as the replica that was later made because the real one disappeared. I walked out like that. I'm like, I got a squareness gun in my pocket. Yes, I have a 6-inch, I have an 8-inch, and I have a 12-inch, and I have a 3-inch. It's totally possible. Hello.
Hi. I just want to thank you, first of all, for coming. This is amazing.
You're welcome.
And I know you've already been congratulated on getting married, and I just wanted to say that's awesome, and that I'm going to be joining you soon, because
yay!
Last night my boyfriend proposed to me.
Aww.
Just turn me up a little. Thank you. I like to be loud. Go ahead.
And I just wanted to ask you, what do you think? I know, did you have like a ceremony or anything, or is it just intimate little friends? And if you had a color scheme,
you want details?
I do want details. But also, what do you think of white and TARDIS blue for wedding colors?
White and TARDIS blue for the wedding colors. Are you a virgin?
She's blue.
Who's wearing the white? From that grin on your face, I can tell you're not wearing white at all. Something like someone's ring was on your finger, but it wasn't a steel one. It was titanium. It's really quite funny. We woke up in the morning, those of you who follow me on Twitter or Facebook or any of the other social media sites, we woke up in the morning and it was actually a text from my sister that said, it's passed. And so we turned on the television. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning in California. We turned on the television, watched the news, we both got very emotional, we kissed and we tweeted it and sent it out, right? And we had already talked about this prior to it, that we would do it as soon as it passed, right? Because if they didn't, if they were able to somehow backtrack on it, we wanted to have it done so we could put up the biggest fight you've ever seen in your life, right? Couple of days, and I can't remember how it was on the 3rd of July, I think it was, or was it 4th? You know what that said? I don't remember. I am terrible at dates, and I always, Scott will always say, yeah, do you remember this date? And I'm like, to my assistant, Reese, what date is this? What date? I don't remember. Oh my god. Anyway, so we had a fight in the morning. I know. And he woke up, I had some coffee. He gets coffee in bed every morning. I'm a sucker. Right?
The woman's head keeps moving. Now.
So I get brought him this coffee, and he sat up in bed, and he went, so when are you going to propose to me? I went, what? He proposed to you. I did it last time when we were in Cardiff when we did the civil partnership. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Well, what's to say you don't get that and you propose me? Well, I'm not doing it because you want to do it first and you got to propose. So it was that. And then finally went, fine! We're going to get married! We held hands. We went down to the registrar's office. But the thing that struck me the most that I have, you know, really, really thrilled me and really touched me also is the fact that, you know, Scott and I are I'm 46, Scott's 50, and we're, you know, we consider ourselves still to be quite young. And when we got to the registrar's office in Indio, California, there was not a couple that was under 75 years old. Exactly. And we witnessed three of the weddings for three older couples, and one of I videotaped them and everything for them. And the guy who was 82 years old, who was the same age as my father, my parents have been married for coming up almost for 60 years. This couple had been married together for over 44 years. Oh. And he was in tears and he said, I never ever thought in my lifetime I would ever see this day. So for all of these people, these couples who have been basically hiding who they were for all those years and living together in love, but not being recognized by the community. I can fight for another 20 years, but for them, this is a huge thing. And it's more about those couples for me than it is about me, because I've got a lot of money. And if you don't agree with it, then piss off. It's the 21st century. Oh, you're pregnant? Oh, so you got something pressing on. I just don't have the baby.
So here's my dilemma.
All right.
My lovely husband, Jack.
Where?
Jeff.
Wayne.
Right here.
Hi, Jack.
Will not help me pick out a name for a boy. Would you help me? He just won't tell me if he likes it or not. He will say what he likes.
Maybe he's just letting you choose.
No, he's not.
Ah.
No. Every pregnant woman out there has
lists of
names.
You really know what you want, don't you? All her names are not. I mean, as much as
where's the problem?
I know, but as much as I love Doctor Who and Torchwood and all the characters that I've played, maybe calling your baby after a woman. Maybe a little, but I think if it's a girl, Sarah Jane's fabulous.
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. I
I even recommended Jack.
I even recommended Jack.
You're Jack also, so it could be Jack too. Jack 1 and Jack 2. She is so tired of being in here, isn't she? She wants to go home. Anyway, listen, put it online or something, and we'll take a vote over it. I'm sure they'll wheel them up. We'll figure it out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
I love musical theater.
Do you?
I do.
Are you sure you're not a gay man? There's some lesbians out in the front here who will help you figure it out.
I was just wondering what your favorite musical is or favorite song.
Well, I never tend to answer questions that are about favorites, because once you say what your favorite is, because of today's social media, it's online and it's everywhere. So I never ever say what my favorite things are. I'm quite happy. The musicals that I've done, I'm quite happy to have done all of them. I love everyone for different reasons. But there's shows that I like. One of my favorites that I'd love to do one day is Mac and Mabel. But I have to rewrite it because the ending's just crap.
Yeah.
It's not a good ending. Yeah. So I've already talked to some people who know Jerry, and I know Jerry, blah, blah, blah. So we'll sort it out. Maybe a few years down the line. Favorite musical song? Gosh, there's so many out there. I mean, the one thing I love doing most recently was working with Stephen Schwartz and rewriting just little bits of The Wizard and I to The Doctor and I. If you haven't heard it, it's on, I think it's on iTunes that you can get it. I recorded it. It's one of my albums. I did it as a tribute to Doctor Who. And it's, for me, what Captain Jack feels like in being with the Doctor and his relationship with the Doctor. And it's actually really quite a fun song. And I sing the shit out of it. Thank you very much. I can also hang my shit outside. Yeah.
I'm a really big fan of your role, Captain Jack, on Doctor Who.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you would be playing him anytime soon?
I have no idea. That's the only answer I can give you. I have no idea. They have to ask. And I have always said that if they ask at the drop of a hat, I will do it, because I absolutely adore Jack. I love the character. I love playing him. And also the fact that Arrow, which I'm on at the moment. I still just let the cat out of the bag. I'm supposed to be dead. It's flashbacks. Thank you. But Arrow had said if they wanted me back while I'm filming that, they would let me go to do it, but they haven't asked. Anyway, yes.
Okay, you said no questions on singing. I'm asking anyway.
I like the attitude. Fire away.
Would you please sing the train song?
Internet things that just happened. I'm the only one on the train. That was all it was. I was the only person on this train going to Essex. And I recorded that and put it online. Now everybody, they put things on going, I'm the only one on the bus. I'm like, my song. I'm not the only one on the plane. That's false! Is that good enough?
This is more about crack.
I thought you were going to say about crack. I was like,
no, not crack. There is the episode where Captain Jack's grandchild dies. How did you come
say
to
again?
That? There's an episode of Torchwood where...
Put the mic up to your mouth before you touch me.
Sorry.
He's not disagreeing.
There is an episode on Torchwood where Captain Jack's grandchild dies.
Yes.
How did you come to that scene? How did you prepare for it?
I have to be totally honest with you.
I am not one of those actors who delves into the depths of their doldrums to find the motivation of the sequence of events that are prior to the moment. I just get up and do it. I think a lot of other actors are that way also, and I have nothing against the actors who have that progression, except that just hurry up and get to that moment, because I really want to go home and eat dinner, right? So we, at Torchwood, we wouldn't get into those heavy, but I know, I think sometimes when you play the truth of the moment as you're doing it, that is the best way to get the intensity and the truth across. It was a hard scene to do because the young boy, Bear is his name, and he was not anyone's humor. His name was Bear. He's a cute kid. He said to me before, he said, "John, what can I do to make more impact with the scene?" I'm like, "Well, Bear, let me give you some tips. When I turn the machine on and you start, like, you all know what happens."
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. When it goes and it happens, you want to make it look like it's going to be, you know, terrible. I want you, because he was doing it in a couple of takes. It was just plain, and then he would fall and da da da. I said, Bear, start shaking a little bit, and then start violently shaking, and tell wardrobe makeup to put a little bit of blood that drips out of your nose. Do something, I said, because that'll freak people out. He's like, okay. So this kid got up and he shook. The thing that I, in those situations that I always look at, is, you know, I think about, I don't have any children, but I have nieces and nephews, and I have. I can do what we call substitute things in my head for those moments. But really, if you're watching a young child die in front of you, which I, in my, that imaginary world, which when David and I, or Eve Miles, or Gareth, anybody who was involved in that show, those imaginary worlds, when we were doing them, they were completely real. That was real to us. That was another world that we were creating, which is why I think you all went and caught on to it and loved it. Because that we didn't treat it like, how stupid is this? Da, da, da. Never. Ever did we think that. So I think that's what makes those scenes work. People used to come up to me in the supermarket, walk past me, and these women, you know, men would come up, these women would go up to me in the frozen food section, you know, looking like out of the frozen food section. What do you think? Getting fish fingers. Fish finger sandwich with ketchup. Delicious. Anyway, it's like a hot, what is it, a hot brown.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. I told Scott I had a hot brown the other night. He's like, really? I said, I don't know what to make of that.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, it's not what you think. So she came up to me, she walked up, she said, "I have to tell you, I think you're awful. But I still love you. And I don't understand why you killed him." I walk away. And I'm standing there going, but I'll still watch. But I have that kind of dilemma as a person who watches. That's exactly what we wanted, because the whole point of doing that, and the whole point of that series, that whole arc of that show was, if you were in a position and you had a family member of that age, and you were the one that was on the weight was on, would you sacrifice that family member to save the entire planet? Would you do it? Right? Some people would say yes, others would say no. For those who say, you know, that, so that's the dilemma Jack was in, and he would sacrifice anything to save humanity. The same as the doctor would. So
thank you.
When you were informed that your character, Captain Jag, was actually going to be the face of Bow?
It was a shock. His name is Arwell Jones, and he was the props designer and master for the show. And they just took a picture of his face and smushed it. But it was funny because Bow used to lie on the floor in the warehouse when we would film it. You know, that's what's great about working on the show, is because we all filmed in Treforest. And, you know, in the WHO Studios, as we used to call it, and the Torchwood Studios, you'd walk past going to lunch, there'd be a Cyberman, there'd be a Weevil, there's a face of Bone, and da da da, as you walk through to go to the canteen. But David and I were filming, I can't remember the episode that was prior to that. Someone will know. Utopia. Utopia, thank you. We were filming Utopia, the scripts hadn't come out. And when they did come out, I'm in my trailer, sitting between, you know, takes, just having a break, looking at lines that are yet to come, in the sequence that I've got to run next to David again, and we're going to have a race. But I'm in boots, and you're in Converse! And you're also this big! And I'm this big! So we're both this big! So, I'm in the trailer and I hear this. Like, yes, I'm coming! What? John, thank David. Oh my God, I can't believe what just happened. I'm just registered. Don't tell me! I don't know! But it's John! But it hurts! Come on, get up! Up he goes. Next day, he comes up and he goes, You're in the script. I'm like, no! Don't tell me anything! Like, come on, John! You've got to eat this fit! So we're together, we talk Scottish together, right? I'm like, David, if you tell me what's going on in that script, I'll belt you! Just tell me when you're ready, okay? All right, fine! So, next day, lunchtime. Do you want to read it? I say, what? Dead on! What? You gotta get there and give it up! It took so many takes to do that scene because I walked away, all casual, confident, the doctor standing there. I walked away and I go, you know, when I was, the Beauchamp Peninsula, I was the poster child for the Time Agency, they used to call me the face of Bo. On my shot, I'm going, all of a sudden, Martha and David are going. So I'm screaming, David. They're like, I'm like, I'm trying to do a shot here. So when that episode came out, we usually had get-togethers when things were, you know, the episodes were going on. We wanted to watch a big special episode. And I'm sitting in my flat, and all the rest of them are in the Cardiff Bay. We called it Who Towers, where we all live. And that was a great building. God forbid anything happened there, because the whole universe of Doctor Who would have been wiped out in one blow. So we, when the episode happened, I went up to the window, and I opened the window. I can't remember who turned to me and said, you know, what are you doing to the window, John? And I opened the window and I said, I'm just listening to hear the nation's jaw drop. And literally, the whole nation was like, oh, it was awesome. I actually, when I did read the script, I went up to back to Russell, because his flat was down below mine, between David's. And I walked up to him and I said, what were you smoking? So, it was good. Good episode. Yes.
Hi, I would apologize for being nerdy, but we're all beyond that.
Apologize for what?
Being nerdy, but we're all beyond that.
Just because you're a room full of nerds eating outside, never apologize for being nerdy.
Yes! Because
you know what? Non-nerds don't apologize for being dickheads.
Where we roleplay for Doctor Who and Torchwood.
Yeah.
And
I don't read fan fiction.
It's not fan fiction.
That's your thing.
It's like we legitimately try to make stories that are around the current Doctor Who and Torchwood universe.
Yes.
I wondered if you had any advice for the fellow members on my site for being in this universe.
Just don't make me do anything creepy. I don't know, creativity is just a good thing. The more creative you are, the better. And it's great kind of worlds and stuff like that. I think it's fun. I know there's others who just don't want to pay attention to it, and that's fine, but that's your thing, and I totally respect that. But, you know, I can't give you really any advice. Just, I mean, I don't know what advice to give, actually, except keep doing it. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. very good. And I play Gwen Cooper, so I'm
not with her line. So then why the hell are you dressed as the doctor?
I know. Called humor.
Yes. My absolute favorite characters are Captain Jack Harkness and River Song.
Yeah.
Anyway, you two can like spin off series, something, be your professor. Get any in works. Maybe.
You're asking the wrong person. You got to contact the writers and stuff. That's their bad. Alex and I really would love to work together. And we've actually, with the small part she had on Arrow, those days that we were there together, we actually met the first time. We're both very good friends of Cameron McIntosh, the theater producer, and we met at Cameron's house. And we spoke and talked. We realized that we're both born on March 11th. This is really weird. We both like the same color. We both like men. So we think it's a perfect thing for us to do something, but who said? Who knows it'll ever happen? It's, you know,
the like torture hero to the torture really, really bad guy.
Really, really awesome. The fact of the matter is that I, you know, being an actor, you relish in playing different characters and doing different things, and that was one thing that I wanted to do with Alfred Earl, and I wanted to make him likable but still really bad. And so little, again, nuances that I put in there. The fact, you know, that I was told by one of the directors when I was doing the sequence of speaking at the window, telling the story about my wife's death, and they were like, don't get emotional. I'm like, what? I said, just don't get emotional. I'm like, you don't know my fan base. I got emotional. And from that episode on, everyone was like, oh my God, we hate you, but we love you. And we understand why you're doing it. Might not agree with you, but we get it. And I was like, yay, more episodes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have an initiative question.
You
Marsters.
Oh, thanks.
What?
Thanks. What about James Marsters?
What about
was he,
James?
Was he a good kisser?
He was a good kisser. I've told this story before, and I'm sorry if you've all heard it.
I heard it in Phoenix.
You heard it in Phoenix, yeah. So you're asking the same question.
No,
James, that sequence, James was, I'll try to make it a little briefer, but James was a guest star, and he was really great, Captain John, and the whole relationship that people didn't expect was that sequence where we both meet at the corner of a room, and it's like the Western, and we walk up to each other, da, 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 and catch the people by surprise every time, right? So, I know James is like, so really, he's like, I'm a bit nervous about this whole thing. You're so nervous. I brought my guitar just to kind of like keep starting to record. He would sit down and play, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I like to make everybody comfortable when I do these scenes, whether you're a boy or a girl. I want you to know that I'm not going to do anything ridiculous when we do these kisses. There's no kind of stage kissing, but made to look real. Because I cannot stand this kind of kissing on camera. What shit is that? Who kisses like that? You know what? Open your mouth. Get in there. Just don't put your tongue in. Right? So, I go to the director. I say, here, do me a favor. We'll probably get this in like two takes. Just keep rolling. Keep going. Keep going. Trust me. So first take. Cut! You okay? Yeah, great, great, James. Okay. Walks over to his girlfriend. He just looks at her and he goes, starts making out with her just to affirm his masculinity. And I'm walking away like. So then all of a sudden he goes, was that it? Was that it? And the director goes, nope. Do it again, and she was like, "Oh, okay, we'll do it again." So I go across and go, "Oh, oh, cut!"
freaked him out. Every morning I was like, hey, go on, hold on.
very bubbly in the morning. I am like right in your face. And he's like, but a great doctor, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
I'd like to hear about your experience with co-writing the book with your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I want that one you want to know. I mean, there's a lot to tell. When my sister and I have written many books together, we've written, I think, five or seven of them. I don't think I lost count. To him, Oliver, Bone Quill, Torchwood Exodus Code, we have written Anything Goes, I Am What I Am. That's five, yes. Five. And we've got four, another one coming out of the Hollow Earth series, and we have another four that we've been commissioned for of the Hollow Earth series. We're going to take twins. And we're going to, in the literary world, we're going to age them into their mid-teens. So they'll learn quite a bit. We have a great time writing together. Carol spends 3 months with me. We develop all the storylines, the character development. Our first character we ever developed from the Hollow Earth series was Zach, our deaf character. And for those of you who haven't read the book, you don't know he's deaf at birth. It's a very nice way that we write it in, because we never want someone's kind of disability to be defining them as a person. So you find out really in a surprise that he's actually deaf, because they communicate in a very different way. You don't know that until it's part of the book. Sorry to confuse you, you're just going to have to buy it. We have a great time writing together. We do the autobiographies. I literally tell her everything. Carol says those are what we define as ew moments. Because there's something you have to, when you're doing an autobiography, you got to be upfront about something. You just can't, you know, hide things. So we enjoy the process, and it's a true collaboration. I do not do the writing. She does that. That's her talent, her gift. She is someone who takes all of the information that we put together and she puts it down in word form. So she gets the credit for doing that and, you know, the rest of the stuff. That's why it's a true collaboration.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a little bit nervous, but...
Don't be nervous.
Okay. This is my best friend.
I'm here for moral support.
You're here for moral support. I don't know. You just want to get close to get a picture.
Yeah. No, I'm
kidding. Boy, you guys gotta line up a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay, what was, I know you said you don't do favorites, but what was like your
don't
favorite?
Don't ask favorites then, because I won't.
No, oh yeah. What was your most
Jack being able to go between the two.
Yes.
And there's a couple of iconic moments in Doctor Who with Jack that I absolutely adore. One of them was I was the first person to jump on the outside of the TARDIS and fly on the TARDIS because no one's ever done that before. And no one will probably do it again. The other one was my moments with Elizabeth Slayton as Sarah Jane.
Oh.
I know sometimes they don't classify Jack as a companion, but I don't give a shit what I say, he was a companion. Any companion always bases, I think, their performance and who they are a little bit on Sarah Jane Smith, because she was the longest running companion to the Doctor, to Tom Baker's Doctor. The fact that I, you know, got to meet her in the episode where we had Davros, and she and I were gripping, holding hands. When Davros came out, she actually leaned to me and she went, "He's still fighting with me." And I'm like, "I know, he scares me too." So there's a lot going on camera. There was actual
John and
So you were fangirling a bit?
I was a fanboy, totally. When I first met her, sorry, Liz. There was a moment when I first met her in the elevator going up in the Blue Towers, and she walked on and she had her hoodie on, and she would always look glamorous standing in there, and she'd stand across from me and I went, this lady. I've done torture, you know, been doing torture, you know, kind of the becoming, I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but becoming iconic as Captain Jack. And I leaned over her and I went, I'm John Barrowman, I play Captain Jack. And she said, I know exactly who you are, Captain. I think one day Sarah Jane would like to meet you, but she'd take the gun right away from you. Like, awesome. 10 minutes. Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Those are my iconic moments. Torture iconic moments. That first sequence when we were filming in the very beginning and I'm laying in that puddle of water.
Yeah.
A puddle with a big machine that was spraying water on top of me. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, freezing my ass off, and I did this for the first time on Torchwood. One of the things that comes to the moment is David Tennant and I were doing a sequence where we were eating chips in a warehouse because we were fleeing somewhere. We actually asked for proper chips. You know, when I say chips, I mean French fries. Big, good cut British French fries. Delicious. So the first sequence, David and I are doing the dialogue in a wide shot, and we're putting salt and vinegar on it. And we're like, I'm doing the scene, don't talk about delicious. Forgot that we had to do the close-ups and chips the whole night. We were sick of chips. The other thing about Torchwood, the other favorite for me, is anytime Eve Miles, whether it's on her close-up, and I am standing, the camera's going over my shoulders, and I have the coat on, because you have to have a continuity, and she's facing her, I'm standing there and I'm talking to her, and she'll be doing her dialogue in a close-up, any of the close-ups that I did, she'd stop and she'd look at me and she'd go, you got your balls on, don't you? Yes. And she just wouldn't look down. She's like, okay, I've done the whole close-up, and you've got your testicles hanging out in front of you. Yep. She got to the point where she'd be doing a close-up, and she'd go, I can't do it! He doesn't have his nuts out! Other actors would come on, she'd be like, excuse me, could you get your nuts out, please? Serious money? Anyway, thank you. Yep.
Hi, I make a lot of my own clothes and everything, and I made a t-shirt that says, has a TARDIS, and it says The Doctor and I,
okay.
And I put by John Barrowman.
Yes.
I was wondering if you wouldn't mind singing like one line from that song.
Singing it?
Yes, please.
When I meet the doctor, when I prove my worth, when I meet the doctor, what I've waited for since birth, and with all his doctor wisdom, by my looks he won't be blinded. Do you think the doctor is dumb, or like Boots, he's so small-minded? No, you say to me, I see who you truly are, Jack, a man whom I can rely, and that's where we'll begin, the doctor and I.
Why you decided to become an actor?
Why I decided? I didn't decide. I like being gay. I was born this way. And I at one point wanted to be a pilot, an airline pilot. And I realized that when I was 9 going through puberty, it was because I actually just wanted to pilot, not this training, and I got my own pilot at home. I just always wanted to do this. You ask my parents, all I've ever wanted to do was entertain people, perform. And a lot of people know exactly what they're put on this planet to do, and I know that. I've been put on this planet to entertain people. So whether that's books, being in Doctor Who, Torchwood, it's recording albums, doing live stage shows, doing this kind of panel, where it's not a boring sit down and do, because I really get the motivation. Right? My job on this planet is to entertain you. That's, I know, I've known that from about the age of 4, so that's why I do it.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
So obviously I'm a huge Doctor Who and Torchwood fan, but I've actually been a fan of yours since way before Captain Jack.
Way before Captain Jack, when I was on the stage in the West End.
Well, I saw a little movie called Shark Attack 3.
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted.
You're exhausted?
I'm exhausted.
What do you say I take you home and...
Thank you so much.
That's a heavy one. But can I tell you, if you don't know what that is, go online and look up John Barrowman's classic Shark Attack line.
Yes.
I did it as a joke because the girl that I was working with, no expression because of Botox. And the director said, can you do something, like say something that's going to throw her? Well, I did this thing that was going to throw her, and there was still no expression. So if you can imagine what the line was, right? Here's what they made me dub for television. God, I'm so exhausted. What do you say I take you home and watch I Love Lucy? Oh yeah, that's romantic. He's clearly gay!
What was your most embarrassing moments from
Torch Woodard? Sorry, they're getting grumpy. They want me to leave. Alright? Listen, you fucked up the schedule. You're just gonna have to wait. Yes!
I was gonna ask, what was your most embarrassing moments from Torch Woodard documentary?
Torch Woodard documentary! But really funny moment was another one where Yanto pushes the cement block off the cliff and it cracks open and I get out of it, right? What I didn't tell them when they got out of the car, Eve, Kai, and Gareth, I was completely naked. Because that's just who I am. I'm not embarrassed, right? So I'm completely naked, but I didn't tell them. The whole crew knew. But what I didn't tell them was... I had to protect my feet, but there was no way to protect your feet to look naked. So what I did, I'm not telling you right now. So I'll tell you in a minute. Anyway, the rock comes off, boom, the car comes pulling around, and if you look at that sweet sequence, look at Eve's face. Eve walks out of the car and she goes, I fluffed a little. I'm standing there and they're pulling around and they're getting all out there. But what I didn't tell them, when I walked in towards them, I had Stay Free maxi pads with wings that I never. So I'm walking all macho, fluff, with pads on my feet, and Eve's like that. Because they can't see my feet, I kick them out going, do you know what tomorrow was? So that's one of the funny moments. I have to do last question. Yep.
Can you twerk?
What? What's twerking? I've been in England. We don't twerk.
Nice to meet you.
Quick, final question. Final question to the gentleman. No, yes. I don't know what twerking is. Sorry. I don't. Don't get all hung up. I don't know what it is. I jerk. I don't twerk. Can I have a lock of your hair? I shave. Go.
I don't know if you could tell us any news about Sink Your Face Off.
I don't have an air date. It's a show that I've just made for ABC Television. It's where we take stars and they get to become their big iconic singers they want to be. It'll be out sometime, hopefully in the fall or the winter.
But they did accept the pilot?
Oh, no, we did the series. It's all done. It's all done. I say this to all the panelists because it's my first one here in Louisville. I want to say thank you very much from the bottom of my heart because you guys, the fans, this is why I love doing these things. You've changed my life. You've given me the life that I've always dreamt about, and I want to thank you very, very much for it. Thank you.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are a few different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-5787.
412-672-4763. That is 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture.
Equal opportunity geekness.
Anyway, it was a major defining moment in my career and in others, and I wanted to do something in this show to kind of honor Captain Jack Harkness and the whole Doctor Who Torchwood kind of phenomenon. And then I thought, there's no song that I can sing that would make sense, and then I went to see the musical Wicked. If I change the words a little bit, which I did, it describes how Jack feels about the Doctor.